your interview with Yaroslav Trofimov, author of Our Enemies Will Vanish, a book about the war in Ukraine. You can find that in the archives at tectonic.fm, T-E-C-H, tonic.fm. The last thing I want to read for you is a brief excerpt of a piece by Francis Fukuyama, who is probably still best known for his 1992 book, The End of History. But I thought that he, on February 20, he had a great perspective about the U.S.'s 180 on our relationship with our ally, who should be our ally, who we have been supporting and we should continue to be supporting. Fukuyama wrote a piece called The Ultimate Betrayal, and here's a part of it. Quote, "We are in the midst of a global fight between Western liberal democracy and authoritarian government. And in this fight, the United States has just switched sides and signed up with the authoritarian camp. What the current occupant has said over the past few days about Ukraine and Russia defies belief. He has accused Ukraine of having started the war by not preemptively surrendering to Russian territorial demands. He has said that Ukraine is not a democracy. And he has said that Ukrainians were wrong to resist Russian aggression. These ideas are likely not ones he thought up himself, but come straight from the mouth of Vladimir Putin, a man the current occupant has shown great admiration for." And later he writes, "The United States, under this current occupant of the White House, is not retreating into isolationism. It is actively joining the authoritarian camp." And I thought that was well stated. So friends, if you think about it, we're hurtling into a future where militaries are investing in these autonomous weapon systems powered by AI that's not fully tested, and we're being led by a current occupant of the White House who is actively abandoning our allies and joining up with the authoritarian camp. It is beyond words what is happening in this country. And all I can hope is that we will get back on the right track and start acting like Americans again someday. Next week, I'm going to be back on the show as we start our fundraising marathon here at WFMU. My co-host will be station manager Ken Friedman. I'm looking forward to that. I know this evening was a little bit of a bummer, kind of a down show, but I really feel like it's important for you to know the truth of what is happening in technology and how it is going to affect us and how it relates to larger matters. So I hope you find this valuable. You are listening to the greatest radio station in the world, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. I want you to stay tuned for Dave Mandel, who's coming up in just a couple of minutes. I do have some homework for you. For next time, friends, I want you to avoid Apple, abandon Amazon, forget Facebook, and whatever you do, friends, get off Google. Have a good week, and I'll see you next time.
no messages for Sally Knight.
Yes, that sweet sound means it's time for another installment of It's Complicated, an hour, 60 minutes of Prague and Prague-adjacent music. I'm your host, Dave Mandel. I'm here every Monday, that's now, at this time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Thanks so much for joining me. Pleasure to be here, always. And we're going to start this evening's show with another tribute. It just so happens there have been a few of these recently, deaths, landmark birthdays. This, sadly, is a death, and it's one that has to be acknowledged, and that is Jamie Muir. Jamie Muir was the percussionist in King Crimson during their 1972, 73, 74 period, which many people consider one of the greatest bands ever to play music. And King Crimson had been reformed with a completely new lineup at that time, 1972, with the amazing lineup of Bill Bruford on drums and John Wetton on bass, of course Robert Fripp, and Jamie Muir on percussion. And adding Jamie Muir to the band was a major change, I would say, in the King Crimson sound. He was a percussionist. He came from more or less the free improv world, jazz and free improvisation world, and it was kind of a brilliant move to place him in King Crimson. And he only played on one album, which was Lark's Tongues in Aspic, what many people think, possibly me, think was their greatest album, and an incredibly, incredibly influential record. Anyway, so Muir is all over this album, and furthermore, even though he played only on this one, he influenced Bill Bruford, who was already a fantastic, you know, one of the best drummers around. Influenced Bruford's playing so that on subsequent albums, there was all this crazy percussion that Bill Bruford played that had been inspired by Jamie Muir. So he left a mark, let's put it that way, on Crimson with his percussion. Just really a brilliant guy. And so I'm going to play a track from that album, Lark's Tongues in Aspic. And everyone plays, and rightly so, everyone plays the opening track of the album, Lark's Tongues in Aspic, Part 1. Just an incredible piece of music that opens with a bunch of percussion, but I'm not going to play that because everyone plays it. I'm going to play something different. I'm going to play the track Easy Money, which also features a lot of Jamie Muir, a lot of percussion on it. You'll hear all kinds of weird, almost like comical percussion-y sounds throughout this track. So anyway, King Crimson, Easy Money from the album Lark's Tongues in Aspic, featuring Jamie Muir on percussion. Thank you.
When you doubled up the snake with your fingers all a shake, you could never tell a winner from a snake.
Show the color of your crimson.
King Crimson with Easy Money from the album Lark's Tongues in Aspic, prominently featuring percussionist Jamie Muir, who we just lost, I guess, last week. Brilliant musician. And I have to add, I made a terrible mistake by mentioning all the members of King Crimson except for David Cross, who played violin and viola. And yeah, R.I.P. Jamie Muir, really one of the greats. I should mention before I forget, for those of you who don't know, that our annual fundraising marathon is coming. It starts next Monday, a week from today, March 3rd. Time flies. Once a year, we take to the airwaves for a couple of weeks and pitch at you and try to coax you to throw a few dollars or pounds, euros, yen, our way, and keep the station going for another year, keep us paying the rent, paying the electricity bills and the internet bills and so on. We are a listener-supported station. We do whatever we want because we answer only to you, not to some faceless corporation or Elon Musk. So tune in. The marathon is really, really unlike any other fundraiser that I can think of in the world. The WFMU fundraising marathon is actually fun. It's tons of fun. People love listening to it. People look forward to it. It's not going to be painful as some fundraisers may be somewhere out there in the world. And there are, among other things, there are tag teams. So each show has in addition to the regular DJ has an MC, so we're teamed up just to double your pleasure. And my co-host my co-host next week, I believe, is going to be Fabio, which I'm thrilled about. And the following week, my co-host will be Daniel Blumen. So please tune in, please give what you can, and help keep this amazing, one of a kind independent radio station going. All right. I'm going to play something from, I have to check sometimes to see, have I ever played this band on the show or that band on the show? And to my amazement, I haven't played this group yet on this show on It's Complicated. So I'm going to rectify that now. This is a group called Look to Book. Odd spelling. I'm not going to spell the whole name out for you. But I was a big fan of theirs for years. Well, still am. But I have a lot of their releases from, I guess, like the 80s and maybe 90s, and I kind of lost touch with them, to be honest. And so I was looking up recently more recent releases of theirs, and I found this one that I really wasn't familiar with, and it's really good. This was released in 2012. Luc de Bouc, it was this really indescribable French group, but I would place them in the certainly the prog adjacent category, at least, maybe in the RIO rock in opposition category. And what can I tell you? It's just gorgeous French stuff. There are, in fact, I believe, lots of odd time signatures in the track I'm going to play. Again, this is from a 2012 release, and I'll tell you the title when I come back and have a little bit more energy to do that. and music from the French group Luc de Bouc there. And it was a track called, here goes, called Un éclat de fer blanc pour le noir de tes silos en général. I'm sure that is very helpful. But a great group who you should look into if you haven't ever done so. Really oddball French post-prog, let's call them, band. Let's stick around in France a little bit longer. I'm going to play a guy named François Tolot. That's T-H-O-L-L-O-T. And he is the brother of arguably, maybe slightly better known, Jacques Tolot, who I've played. I've played Jacques on this show, I think. And he's also a member of a really great French group called Scherzo, S-C-H-E-R-Z-O-O, who I've also played. But François Tolot is who we're going to hear now. We're going to hear something from actually a very recent release. This came out last year, I think, like early 2024. And it will be a track called Maîtrise. Thank you. And music there from Francois Tolo, T-H-O-L-L-O-T, track called Maitrice from a release called Point of View. Came out just last year. And again, he's a member of the French group Scherzo, who are really great. I've played them on the show. You should look into them. And his records, including that one, Point of View, are available on Bandcamp. He Francois, that is, plays all the instruments on that and some programming and whatnot besides. All right. We're going to go across the channel, I guess. We'll cross the English Channel and go over to London and play a band with a name, sort of baffling name, and that name is He Was Eaten by Owls. That's the name of the band. He was eaten by Owls. We're going to hear a track from, if I can find it, there it is, a track called Throw Away. No, let me get the full title here. So long. Okay, right. Throw Away Your Keys for Bodies Contain No Locks They Understand. I knew it was a really long title that I couldn't possibly remember. One more time, folks. That is, Throw Away Your Keys for Bodies Contain No Locks They Understand. Okay, that makes a little bit more sense to me now. Anyway, we're going to hear a track from a 2016 album, sort of sharp-edged math rock, you might call it. This is the group He Was Eaten by Owls. And music there from the group He Was Eaten by Owls. Track called Throw Away Your Keys, for bodies contain no locks they understand. Okay, that makes some sense when you use that intonation. Still, you know, I'm still baffled. From a 2016 album of theirs called Chorus 30 from Blues for the Hitchhiking Dead. That's the album title. Now we're going to get a little bit noisier now. Warning, I'm wearing headphones, so even I'm going to turn the volume down a little bit here. And I was thinking earlier today, as I often do, of Barrymore Barlow, who was the drummer in Jethro Tull during their proggy period, and one of my favorite drummers in the world, a giant among drummers, Barrymore Barlow. And I remembered that he, after he left Tull, he played with various other people. Not many. He stopped playing eventually, I think. But he played with Robert Plant and Jimmy Page separately and various other people. But one guy he played with was Yngwie Malmsteen, the great Swedish stunt guitarist. And I thought, well, let me play an Yngwie track with Barrymore Barlow on it. And it's proggy. Anything Yngwie does, I guess, would be proggy by a certain measure, because this stuff is so insanely complicated. Anyway, we can hear a track from a 1984 album. I think it's the only Yngwie album that Barlow played on, called Rising Force. And this will be a track called Little Savage from Yngwie Malmsteen. Hold tight. We'll Okay, that hasn't aged so well, has it? But, you know, how many notes can you fit into one measure? And Barrymore Barlow on the double bass, double kick drum with his feet going equally fast. So that was Yngwie and Little Savage from the album Rising Force, 1984. Barrymore Barlow, the great Barrymore Barlow, on drums. We're going to go back to France and a little more sanity or insanity. And here's something from a group called Unit Wall. And this is what they sound like.
Yeah.
And that's the group Unit Whale, and they hail from Paris, France. And we heard a track there from an album called Égarés, and that dates from 2016, I think. I don't have the date handy. Oh, my goodness. But Unit Whale. And that's available on Bandcamp. I have time, I think, just to fit this one more track. Just barely. I'm going to jump right into it because I can barely fit it. This is something from the Physics House Band. We'll be right back. all these guys play for you in 7/8 time, it's time for me to say goodnight. Thanks for listening, folks. Been a pleasure, always is. Stashu's coming up in just about a minute. Daniel Blumen follows Comrade Daniel Blumen at 9 p.m. He'll take you till midnight. Thanks so much for listening. See you next week, I hope. Our fundraising marathon starts next Monday. Don't miss it. You're tuned naturally to WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, in New York City, and Rockland County at 91.9 FM. Online at WFMU.org. See you next time.
Today it's gonna be a kind of loud show, right? From our sponsors.
Our battle cry is LSD. Let's sell descriptively.
Some swimsuits live far away from when now begins, sitting it out on the edge of things, but not the savage suit. See it move with the lines of a swinging cat? It runs to the edge of... Who is that? Here, kitty, kitty. Here, kitty, kitty. Run away. Run away. Run wild. Run wild. Get lost. Get lost, baby. The Savage Suit by Gold of California.
The crowd was starting again.
Can only mean one thing. That must mean that's the ding for the next song, right? Isn't that the next song ding? Here.
Next song!
Ding, ding. That's the ding.